Meet Mr. Glam.
Hello. Now then, I'd like you to listen to a couple of sounds.
Baby, baby, baby!
There can be no whitewash at the White House.
Very simple sounds they are. One is a car door closing, and the other is a seatbelt clicking on.
It was actually a very, very innocent time. Even the exploiters were innocent. Teenagerdom began in the 50s as a kind of market to exploit. It hadn't been around for that long in the 70s. Now, people have nailed it down.
The thing about that time was that you could be anything, you see. You could go to a party and you could put on things that you'd seen on Top of the Pops, and you could just put on your platform soles and your silver shoes and your glitter in your hair and everything. And you could just be anything you wanted.
They were very decadent times, from pop music through to television to politicians' private lives. It really was the decade that taste forgot.
Clunk, click, every trip.
Christ, I had 6 velvet jackets. I had 2 black ones, a brown one, a green one, a dark blue one. And God knows what the other one was, I don't know. But velvet jackets, absolutely. Flared trousers with a high waistband. And platform shoes, of course. Because it made you look a little bit taller. That's probably why I always think that the girls were taller back then.
There was this girl, Marilyn, who had these clogs. Oh, I envied those clogs. Well, they were like silver on one half and gold on the other, and they had platforms and heels, and I just thought they were so glam. I really coveted those.
I was a Slade fan. Dungarees and boots and striped socks. So you had to have your trousers, which were just too short, so you could see your striped socks.
Looking back, the worst items that haunt me in my darkest hour is this sleeveless tank top. It was beige and it had a picture of Kojak on the front. It was Telly Savalas sucking a lollipop.
Long boots, wet look that you had to sort of squeeze up your leg to get on, big fat knees plopping over the top.
Or the real height of danger would be if your flared trouser fitted over your platform shoe, which is a very cool thing to do, but if that happened within the rhythm of your walking, ultimately there would be trapped, there'd be some kind of vacuum, and you were trying to affect a particular walk like you'd seen on Starsky and Hutch or something, and suddenly the foot would be caught in the flared bottom, you'd be on the floor, and your credibility would be in the gutter.
I had this Mary Quant makeup, and it was all like different shades of purple, and it was brilliant, like with this mauve and this kind of violet one, and there's kind of highlighter, but you always had this shader underneath your cheekbones to make you look really kind of glam, you know.
Shirt with a great big lapel with funny patterns on it. Always had these funny pattern shirts, didn't we?
Usually purple, and they had, instead of a pointed collar, they had like a round collar.
Open down to round about where the hair started.
But then you put a jacket on top that may have had a pattern on it, and that in itself would have, you know, lapels that reached your shoulders.
Had a very small medallion.
I believe in miracles. Where you from? You said the thing, said the thing, you. I believe in miracles. Since you came along, you said the thing. Thank you.
So I say to the miners, call it off now before any more damage is done. Once again, I would like to ask Mr. Wilson to be associated with this and let Mr. Thorpe join with us as well. The road to peace is open.
Now then, listen to this sound.
As many of you will have heard already, Her Majesty the Queen agreed today to my request that Parliament should be dissolved.
It is because I believe that it is the right path for Britain that I ask you tonight to vote Labour on Thursday.
There's no doubt that we took these guys seriously. They weren't joke figures at all. They were real stars. Noddy Holder and Gary Glitter.
And it's deadlock in election 74, with Harold Wilson just a whisker in front and only a handful of results to come. But Labour say they're ready to have a go at running the country.
Love of my life. If I wasn't homosexual, then I probably should have been. But I used to admire the man. He had the hair, he had the look, he had the big chest wig, and his shoulders were about 8 foot wide, and he was about 8 foot tall with his shoes, wasn't he? He was the man.
There was the blonde one that, like, everybody fancied, you know, and if you ever met a girl at school and you would describe her to your friends who hadn't seen her, she was always, like, the blonde one in ABBA. Cool, you know what I mean? It was just like, that was the one that you fancied. And then, there was the older one who looked like somebody's mum, and you didn't admit to fancying her. Then there was the guy that looked like a turtle. His top lip was too big for his bottom one. And then, of course, there was the geography teacher with the beard who played the keyboard.
I remember religiously watching Top of the Pops every Thursday. I mean, that obviously had to happen. TV suppers on our lap, watching Top of the Pops.
Fans, people, and they are about to dance to one of two sounds in the chart by Mr. Hamilton Bohannon.
They certainly weren't good dancers. I mean, at the time, I used to be astonished by the fact that a lot of people used to find their performances extraordinarily erotically charged. I mean, I used to find them faintly embarrassing and at times almost laughable. You know, they seemed to sort of thrash about in rather a clumsy fashion. And, of course, they did that wonderful thing of doing very, very literal interpretations of songs so that every line in the song would be interpreted by some kind of action in the course of their routine.
For example, right now, the funniest thing that I ever saw was these people dressed up in penguin suits, which were basically twice their height, and they were constricted so they could only, like, move their feet 1 foot at a time, and they were on this revolving dais, which was having water spilt over it. It's a Knockout was really, really funny.
And that music that started it with the congas, da 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 da.
And the whole match is going to be taking place in Erris Park here over the water with scaffolding, water games, high diving wires, trampolines, and just about everything you can think of. Strong men, dolly girls, in fact, the usual knockout mixture. And of course, we couldn't have a knockout without a marathon, and down there, the original White Hunter, Eddie Waring.
Thanks very much, David Barnes. bridge building and carrying balloons back. A little different this time. These logs are going to be built in across to the float at the other end, then the girls are going to be carried back.
That follows another half hour spent with the Wilkins of Reading in our fly on the wall view of the family.
My mum and dad were married when I was 18 and 19. His mum and dad was 17 and 19. So, I mean, why should I be the older now? Why shouldn't I be married yet?
We hear it often, in every way. Not just today, specifically, but every day. There's a deep understanding between you and me. Don't you agree? Don't you agree?
And they had to get their bucket underneath this chute to all the water falling down in it and fill up the bucket.
And there was Orinoco and Tobermory and Bungo and Madame Chalet and Uncle Bulgaria. And they had just a few hits of this in the 70s, sort of peering on top of the pops, singing things like Underground, Overground, Wombling Free. The Wombles of Wimbledon, come and are we? That's all I'm singing.
20 and a half minutes past 10 o'clock. We've just heard the police are on the lookout for a thief who broke into a warehouse that stocks torch batteries. Then Emily went along the road and stole more goods from a factory that manufactures salt. A police spokesman says that he'll be on a salt and battery charge.
Tony Blackburn. The BBC is simply, madly, divinely, happily, completely in love with
you. Come on, everybody, it's skipping time.
I have a feeling coming on that I'm going to talk about a word which, on both sides of the Atlantic, has started to thunder as rhythmically as the guns at a royal salute. The word is corruption. Impropriety in private life brought about the resignations of Lord Lambton and Lord Jellicoe from the Conservative government headed by Mr. Heath. Mr. Reginald Maudling, MP, resigned as Conservative Home Secretary when his name was mentioned in the Post in bankruptcy.
John Stonehouse stepped onto one of Miami's most exclusive beaches last Wednesday week and vanished without trace. Behind him, he left a baffled colleague and a mystified police force. When Mr. Stonehouse failed to arrive for dinner at his hotel that night, security guards broke into his room. Inside were his passport, his money, everything.
And then they went down to the beach to have a look in the beach hut and found the clothes that he'd left were still there, and any attempt to find any evidence of any kind has come up to a dead end.
Prime Minister Mr. Wilson has publicly defended the land deals with which members of his staff were connected on the grounds that they were concerned with land reclamation, not speculation.
1974 was the year of the great shortages. Petrol, sugar, bread, money, salt, one president of the United States and a few tapes, and a former postmaster general and a few quid. And there's one lord we're still looking for.
Children's nanny, Sandra Rivett, her body dumped in a canvas bag in the basement, probably died by mistake. The intended victim was almost certainly Lord Lucan's wife.
Lord Lucan had many wealthy friends throughout the world, friends who perhaps helped him to escape arrest and who may still be hiding him even today. And here at Scotland Yard, thousands of sightings have been received.
The Odessa File, Day of the Jackal and James Bond have nothing on this thriller. We present the most depressing show on earth. With the special guest stars, Richard Nixon, who can't be here, but has sent us a tape message with nothing on it.
Say only that if some of my judgments were wrong, and some were wrong, They were made in what I believed at the time to be the best interest of the nation.
But we learned very early on that the President of the United States sometimes has to stand naked, is what Dylan said in the 60s. We knew that the President of the United States was going to lie to us and lie again and again and again. And we watched this when we were 15 and everybody knew he was lying. Nixon was the 70s and the 70s were Nixon.
To have served in this office is to have felt a very personal sense of kinship with each and every American. In leaving it, I do so with this prayer. May God's grace be with you in all the days ahead.
Well, when she finished reading, she had gray, big old tears in her eyes, and she looked up at me and said,
"Mommy, I sure do love you."
Then she took the pen and in great big letters she wrote, "Paid in full."
When you add it all up, the cost of real love is no charge.
Now therefore, I, Gerald R. Ford, President of the United States, do grant a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon for all offenses against...
It's only that it got in the newspapers and they got found out, but we all had believed anyway that America was a corrupt country, that the politicians were corrupt. They told lies, they bugged each other's offices, you know, because all your friends believed their phones were being tapped anyway by the special branch. So people weren't surprised by Watergate. It sort of just confirmed their worst expectations.
Too late, my time has come. Sent shivers down my spine, body's aching all the time. Goodbye, everybody.
I don't think that he is resigning over anything that may or may not have happened with Norman Scott 15 years ago. I think he's resigning because of the way he has handled himself and allowed his friends to conduct themselves over the last few months.
But this whole affair has arisen very largely because newspapers have made a great deal over certain allegations which were made about his sexual and private life.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of fun with Jeremy Thorpe. The point about Jeremy Thorpe wasn't what he did or didn't do. The point was that he just gave us a lot of really good jokes.
Yeah, why is Jeremy Thorpe like Captain Kirk? Because they both want a little more thrust from Scotty. Allegedly.
And we thought these were hilarious, these jokes. They were just so funny because it was the first time that we'd ever really come across the fact that homosexuality was something that existed. Not only did it exist, but suddenly it was being talked about in detail. It's magic.
I suppose it's had the cumulative effect of making you very wary of politicians.
They're the goodies, how do you do? We've just been down to the zoo. We saw a monkey in a cage, doing a dance that could be the rage. It's not hard, so let's all do the funky gibbon. Woo, woo, woo. Do, do, do the funky gibbon.
The funky gibbon.
We are here to show you how. The funky gibbon.
The funky gibbon.
Just like you. Come on, do the funky gibbon now.
Well, I think that people that actually grew up in the 70s still actually did think that the ruling classes had everybody's best interests at heart. When the corruption was splashed all over the newspapers, people realised that these people weren't, in fact, particularly special, and that they were just as full of failings and faults as everybody else. I think that if a politician actually managed to convey to our generation that he was actually telling the truth, even like three quarters of the time, they'd think he was a gift from heaven.
It was actually quite good. It was tremendous that people could get away with that. But around the edges then, as these stars, the real stars, became more and more ridiculous, all the kind of periphery became ridiculous as well. I can remember this quite clearly. And the whole thing was just becoming so unstable. Either you were a complete joke, like the Wombles, or you were a joke meaning to be taken seriously, like Gary Glitter. And it's not surprising that that whole structure became completely ready to topple.
He's a sorry figure. Heading a disunited and discredited cabinet. His is a dying government, creating only uncertainty and confusion, living on borrowed time and borrowed money. He should go, and go now.
It's funny how you look back on Harold Wilson now with great affection. I saw him speak once. He was dynamite. He was electric. And I think a lot of the things he did were rather good. I suppose people didn't exactly see him as Mr. Trustworthy, but they were still optimistic times. But things were curdling. They were just beginning to curdle, and they were curdling as we grew up and as we watched.
We've just heard from our staff at Westminster that the Prime Minister, Mr. Harold Wilson, has resigned. He feels he has been leader of the Labour Party for long enough. He will continue as a backbencher. Mr. Wilson celebrated his 60th birthday last week.
Too much for the man.
He couldn't make it,
so he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh. Oh, he's leaving on the midnight train, Georgia.
Yeah,
ooh, y'all said he's going back to find.
You used to always dance with each other's hands on each other's bottoms, and you'd never move. I mean, it'd be a perfect circle, going round and round and round.
And they managed to be able to smoke a cigarette, chew some chewing gum, have a conversation, either blokes up or once, while still sort of staying in rhythm.
I can remember one party, in fact, where my friend's parents refused to go out. And they sat in the other room throughout the party, and then halfway through, the mother came and started doing the hoovering because we dropped all the crisps. She started hoovering in the middle of the party.
You stand there with your mates on the edge of the dance floor saying, you know, well, next record, if it's a slow one, that's the one I'm going for. And then, of course, you would get there, and suddenly somebody just that bit older, that bit better dressed, would just move in there at that killer moment, and you had to sort of make it look like you weren't going to that girl anyway. You were just going to the bar to get another pint of lager.
Libra. And my name is Charles. Now I like a woman that's quiet. A woman who carries herself like Miss Universe. A woman who would take me in her arms. And she would say, child, yeah. And if you fit that description, this is for you, especially.
B-A-Y-C-R-T-Y with an R-O-L-L-E-R-S. Bay City Rollers are the best.
And I had a pair of, they were disgusting light blue baggy jeans from C&A's. And we'd taken out the seams and we'd sewn in the seams some tartan. And I had a pink top with huge Bay City Roller badges all over it.
I just remember loving Woody more than all of the others.
You're the one girl in town I'd marry. Girl, I'd marry you now if I were free. I wish it could be. I could love you, but why begin it? But there ain't any future in it.
the most bizarre thing that I've ever seen in my entire life was a day that was sponsored by Radio 1 at Mallory Park Racing Circus. They're having car races, and at Mallory Park there's a large lagoon in the middle of the circuit which has got a couple of small islands on it. And as these cars were speeding around, all these Bay City Rollers fans were going berserk because helicopters were bringing the Bay City Rollers onto one of the islands where there was a kind of observation platform. So these young people in their Bay City Rollers chic were trying to make their way through the water to the island.
And these penguins had to get their bucket, a little bucket, and fill it up with water. Now, of course, this water is making the dais really slippery. And then they had to go rushing around and then fill up their own particular special vat.
So you get these strange tree stump-like young girls making their way through the mud and emerging at the other side covered in weed. And the only security people who are out appear to be the BBC sub-aqua club. So you've got all of these people in wetsuits and flippers.
Over the other side of the dais, which is going round all the time. And there's penguins falling over and bumping into each other.
Catching these strange girls and throwing them back into the waves, and they'd just turn around and trudge back towards the island again. And in the meantime, as all of this went on, there was a speedboat going backwards and forwards on the lagoon itself with Tony Blackburn in it, and it was driven by a womble.
Trying to run and keep up with the dais and keep his bucket on it. Oh, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Mark this well, I said, we will not see its like again.
That was Meet Mr. Glam from Loon Pants to Safety Pins Part 2. The producer was Liz Jensen. Well, next week, the third and final programme in the series recalls punk rock and economic decline at the end of the decade.